communication, I think my communicated, I thought I was communicating chapter 1 of 2 Timothy through chapter 2, verse 13, but it only got chapter 1 through 13. But God's word is before us, and let us listen to him as he speaks to us. I just want to read further on in chapter 2, because I think this will help us to fill in some of what Paul was writing to Timothy, and as a young preacher in his ministry there, and I think it's the word of encouragement and the power that we can call upon in our own lives. So just to take up chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also, suffering hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal by the word of God. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy saying, for if we died with him, we also shall live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. I checked out the internet this week for phobias. Phobia is another word for fear. As with today, we are considering the alternative to fear. I thought maybe I would just remind you of some of the fears that are listed. I won't read the whole list. I think I've got 6 pages. But listen to a few. We could have a lot of fun with this in some ways, but listen to a few. Of course, acrophobia, the fear of heights. Aerophobia, the fear of flying. Amoxophobia, fear of riding in a car. Androphobia, the fear of men. Anginophobia, the sign of the fear of choking. Anthrophobia, the fear of flowers. Bacteriophobia, the fear of bacteria. Barophobia, the fear of gravity. Bibliophobia, here are students. Bibliophobia, fear of books. Carcophobia, fear of ugliness. Catatropophobia, the fear of mirrors. Cynophobia, the fear of dogs. Dentophobia, the fear of dentists. I just go on and on and on. And so they concluded this. They concluded this, you know, if we read this whole list, while the listing of phobias that may exist is not possible, the list of all phobias, it's not possible, it can be helpful to look through a list of some of the more commonly described phobias. As you can see, by looking at this list, almost any object or situation can become the source of fear. Almost anything can become a source of fear. If you're interested in some of the other phobias, I'll have this up here. But the fear that paralyzes us at some times, but the fear also that would cause us to go in the wrong direction as well. How do we, what is the alternative? What are the antidotes to fear? There may be a few of you here I'm not sure that there are any, who might remember in 1936 when President Roosevelt addressed the nation that was in a world that had just been going through a very severe depression and now was facing troubles in Europe, which was to lead to World War II. And he addressed the nation by saying, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." He was daunted here. One of the leading psychologists at Harvard University has said that when we examine stress, fear is the core condition of stress. We hate to go to work because of the fears of having to face co-workers, or whether we're going to get promotion, or whether we're going to be called out because we haven't done the right job, or as teenagers, the fears of whether we're going to be accepted by classmates, or whether we're going to say the right things, or the pressures that are about us, and whether can I say no to those particular pressures. Fear fuels stress, and stress increases fear, and fear fuels stress, and stress increases fears. If only we could avoid fear for a few years, or a day, or how long. Somehow, we think that if we could avoid the fears, then we might be able to avoid some of the stresses of life. Somehow, fear, stress, does initiate a lot of illnesses as well. Gastrointestinal disorders are often because of stress, which are come by fear. Skin disorders are said often by the stress and the fears that come from that. And there's a weakening of the immune system, and there's also a term out there in the medical world of stress cancer. Stress, fear, connected. If we can get rid of the fears and accommodate, become another word that you use out there is stress hardy. Trying to use some of the terms that we're hearing that would be written about in our culture to talk about stress and fear that is common to all of us in our fallen and human nature. But if you are a person who is stressed out, your stress is clearly related to the fears that you have carrying with you. You should be interested. We all should be interested in the alternative to fear. What is the alternative to fear? As we've read here, and especially in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and discipline," and other translations, "a sound mind." This is God's word to us, that he does not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. Paul was one who in his own life had known the fear of first the followers of Christ, and he sought to persecute them, to get rid of them, because they challenged his worldview. But God, by his grace, showed him Christ, and he became one who became fearless of anyone who was against Christ. Knowing Christ, Paul learned to handle fear. And so he is able to write to Timothy, a young pastor, one who is now out there on the front with the people in his culture, telling them of the good news. But it was not a friendly world. It was a world that was against Christ. like Paul was able to speak to him and write to him, and he writes to him that God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. And so with that, I'd like to look here at the three things that Paul says we have by the Spirit of God that enables us to overcome fear, that is an alternative to fear, that which we can live by in our daily lives, that would show forth a life that is full of joy and peace and in grace. Not a spirit of fear. Not a spirit of timidity, as some other translations. Not a spirit of ashamedness, of weakness of who I am, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Those who believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, save by grace from the punishment of sin or for sin, know about power. Know about that which can change us. I am not ashamed, Paul wrote to the Romans, of the power of God. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Bible is about power through and through. The power of the gospel, the power of Jesus Christ, the power of His Spirit that indwells us. What is that power? It's the power of God. And who is God? The creator of the universe, who by the very word of His mouth spoke all things into being. The power of God, creating the universe. The power of Christ to defeat Satan and all of his angels, to be able to withstand the temptations, to overcome the power of sin that prevailed, the power to pay the price for our sins, the power of Christ that will one day make everything subject to himself. The power of Christ, the power of the gospel that disregards any ethnic or national differences and can unite us and bring us together into a fellowship, into a body of believers who can join in enjoying one another for His sake, into that fellowship. It is a spirit of power. All that the Bible reveals about that power. Christ, when He commanded His disciples, what did He say? To go, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That was the power, the authority that God had given to Him to send them out. All power to Him. And just before He ascended, in Acts chapter 1, He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. This is not some human strength. This is that supernatural strength that God promises to give and has given to His church, and as He gives to each of us, enabling us to believe and to trust in Him. Wherever present, the power of God is present in Christ. To defeat sin, to enable us to have newness of heart and life, to, as He commands, to do as He commands, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Is that something, humanly speaking, we are unable to do? What is the success in your life, in your own strength, to love your neighbor as you love yourself? No, this is a gift from God, and He has promised to us. But it is that alternative to fear. We do not have to fear the power of men. We do not need to fear, in that sense, the power of sin, because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. More than the resources found within us, we do not have that power in us. It is a supernatural power that God gives to us when He promises to give us His Spirit, a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. Yes, humanly speaking, we have every reason to be afraid. When we take stock of our own selves, what can I do to withstand all the temptations? When we try to stand on our own, I can manage this. If we try to stand in our own strength, we are sure to fail. So the initial is to recognize our own inability. Recognizing our own inability, and by God's grace, to rely upon Christ. To rely upon Christ. We receive that power. And so, in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul writes, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. When I am weak, then I am strong." What a wonderful promise and what a wonderful truth. And to acknowledge that in our lives. For how often we just try to stand in our own strength, in our own accomplishments, or in the accomplishments of those around us, rather than in Christ Himself. In Christ alone. And when we trust in Christ, we have that power of the living God. Weak and sinful as we are to confess our sins and trust in Christ as Savior. Not me and, but Christ alone. Not only receive forgiveness from God, which by His grace, isn't that wonderful to know that you're forgiven in Christ? But what is He promising here? Not only that I forgive you, but I've given you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. A power to, as He commands us, to trust Him. A power that enables us to say no to the sins of the world. It's not something that is innate in us, but it's a gift from God. Not of works, lest we might boast. But He Himself has given to us the power within us to do battle with sin and Satan and the world. To do what must be done for God. To obey God. To do whatever God requires of us. It's not a hopeless. Yes, the standard is high, but He Himself gives us, by His grace, He gives us that enables us to be able to live unto Him, to be able to keep His commands. And so it is not a self-reliance, but a reliance upon God, as He Himself gives His Spirit to us. Do what must be done for God, to obey God, to do whatever He commands or requires, to care for the ugly and the abusive, to be able to show His love to others because He has first loved us. It's not the impossible, But humanly speaking, it is the impossible. But because he gives to us this newness, we have, by his grace, the ability to do as he commands. My peace I give you, not as the world giveth I unto. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me, believe also in him. He gives us not a spirit of power, not fear. The power is the first which he gives us. And so it is that spirit of power which enables us to bear the fruit of his spirit in our lives. And though that fruit may seem to be difficult in our own lives, yet by the newness of life that he's given, the power of life that he gives, we are able to bear the fruit of his spirit. The spirit of the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and perseverance in him. The second thing, he replaces fear with love. I'm not talking about the romantic type. We're talking here about the life that changes us from the core, that enables us to have a new fidelity, a new loyalty, a new obedience, a bond such as becomes between the king and his subjects who cares. So we're displayed by God, a loving God, a God who has loved us, a God response to the destruction of that we have brought in our own lives. How does God respond? By showing his love to us. And how did he show his love to us? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. How did he show it? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave that. It is a giving of himself to us. That's how he loved us. Getting something that you deserve diminishes that depth of gift, of a gift. If I deserve it. If you've worked all year and your boss, or all week or all day, and the boss gives you a check, earned it. But something that you don't deserve and yet is given, the value is immense. And that's the picture here. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Receiving a gift brings the depth of gratitude and thanks. And he has promised now to give us his Spirit. And his Spirit is a spirit of love, enabling us to love. It's hard to describe God's love, that the love within the Trinity of God. God the Father loved the world so much that he sent the Son. The Son was so willing to come for his love for us that he was willing to die. And the Holy Spirit accompanied him all the way, carrying him through the temptations in the desert, speaking of. I can't completely comprehend that triune relationship, but that was a relationship of love. And that love is a love that is expressed towards us. That he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Son was willing to come. And the Holy Spirit was willing to accompany him the whole time to carry him through. Because he loved us so much. God God is love, that ultimate reality, and love, in that sense, conquers all. It conquered my sin. It conquers yours. It conquers the penalty that I deserve. Now, today, the love of God is projected into the lives of those who believe in Him, in His Son, Jesus. Jesus' love for His followers, He loved His followers and expected His followers to love as well. 1 Corinthians is that chapter, 13, that chapter on love. The greatest of Christ's virtue, of Christian virtue, is love. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. As you have done it unto one of the least of these, my children, Jesus said, you've done it unto me. Fear as it relates to love. How does love overcome fear? The ability to love God or others as we ought. Think of our relationship in the family. Where there isn't any love, there's only fear. Love that is selfless, willing to look out for the good of the other. How does that project itself? Where there is love, they pray for one another. And where there is love, they minister to one another. Not with the idea of what I can get in return, but what I can do to meet the needs of the other. And so therein is the example of love to us. But where there is love, there is joy and peace and happiness. Where there is love, there, 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. You know, we're so quick to be able to sense whether we're really loved or not. Because we see through each other, don't we? Because we're skeptical of our own sincerity, I think. But when we see how God has loved us, so ought we to love one another in a selfless way. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His life. No greater love as anyone in this, and He laid down His life for His friend. And that's what Christ has done. But that's the love that He gives to us by His Spirit. Yes, the Spirit of power, but it's also the Spirit of love. The love that God Himself has for His people enables us to show that self-sacrificing love, if we have to give adjectives to it. It should be love, real love to others. But we seem to have to define it because it's so many other ways in which we try to use the word. But that self-sacrificing, that's what love is. It's giving of yourself fully. The selfishness and the volition of what God made us, the image bearers, not for isolation, but for communion and fellowship. And so we're not loved by God to isolate us from it, but to bring us together in a communion, fellowship, ministering one another to each other. Therein we see the love of Christ, the love of the Holy Spirit working in us. Stress, of course, is the antidote to love. But love is the antidote to stress and fear. Knowing that we have been loved enables us to love others, to respond and to be responsive to others and their needs. A truly loving person will not be racked by tension and stress. What is the third point of this, of what God has given us in His Spirit? Power, love, and third, of self-discipline or sound judgment. Being sound-minded. What does that mean? I have a hard time really putting it in all the words that we need, but something like this, it's sort of in some ways being disciplined in mind. Swimming laps, counting calories, minding the speed limits, setting the alarm clock, carefully meeting our obligations, limiting the picayune. When you're driving, why do you look in the rearview mirror? Do you drive conscious, you know, with a free conscience? Or are we always second, who's following me? But one with a sound mind is one who is limited by the commands of God. Self-discipline, foreboding failure. Fear is something above our abilities, beyond our capacities. But a worker's promotion to be the position we do not have, the talent and abilities, we're often driven to despair. But God encourages us to take charge in that sense by not fretting, not becoming anxious, no longer wasting time sitting around, wasting talent, wasting energy. But to know what is required of us and to freely and joyfully doing it. God establishes the priorities by arranging our lives, thus enabling us to live effectively. Priorities by which we can sort out the options that confront us. Not simply reacting from one situation to another like a pinball bouncing around in a slot machine. That is, by following Christ and His Word. Following Christ and His Word. Disciplined by the Word of God. Disciplined by His truth. Then we don't have to second guess. When you're second guessing, there's all the uncertainty. Did I do it right? But when we follow the truth of God's Word. And so Christ Himself taught His disciples what? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things that we're worried about, that we think we've got to have, will be added to us. Not so that. No. But seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these other things, God will supply to us as are needed. The discipline of godliness. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. The blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's where our mind needs to be focused. With discipline we give to our thoughts and activities, we discover that the fear no longer has sway because we're focused in Christ and the hope that He has, we have in Him for all eternity. Living with a purpose, empowered by Christ in His Spirit, filled with His love. With discipline, there is promise and the opportunities for service in His kingdom. He helps us as we depend upon Him fully. The writing in the book of James, faith without works is dead. So that by our works, you might know us. It doesn't mean to sit back doing nothing, but it means to live serving Him, serving others. It's not a self-centered discipline, as some of the programs out there might attend. Take care of yourself first. Even some of the, which I've heard some good things come, the AA programs. But it's all what you have. You're depending upon yourself and your failures because your strength and power is in yourself. And so we're seeing it not self-centered, but captured by Christ. Am I getting an echo here that I should be turning off? I don't know. Captured by God's grace and mercy to us. Strengthened by His power, thereby we know that we must use every moment to the fulfillment of His praise, to fulfill His praise and service to those in need. A faith that works, trusting Him, acknowledging Him, knowing that our identity is in Jesus and what He has done, and not in what I have done. Overcoming stress. It's interesting, that same Harvard professor who talked about stress was the antidote, was what caused, or fear was what caused stress, or stress and fear, and this is what they play on each other. That same professor, this is how she gave the answer to that. Learn to meditate and control your breathing. Find some round sounding word to say every time you exhale. That's how you deal with stress. I'm glad. It's almost sad if that's the intellectual answer to the student's fear of stress, fears and stress. It's sad. What's happening in America? What's happening in our institutions? How are we dealing with what we see to be the difficulties, the problems of life? But here's the good news. It's not in that sound rounding thing. It's in Jesus Christ who has come. And He has the power of salvation. He has overcome sin and death. He has the power to give us eternal life. And in Him we can know that our sin is defeated. And by His Spirit, that Spirit of power, that Spirit of love, that Spirit of self-discipline, we can live with purpose and joy and know that there is eternity ahead for the glory and honor of His name. Through Christ, the eternal fears are taken away. The power to forgive sin. The power He gives to resist sin daily. The Spirit of love, who not only assures us of God's love, but enables us to love others. It's difficult, yes, but He gives us a newness of life. He gives us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. It enables us to do as He commands. Love your neighbors, love yourself. That's, everybody in society says, yeah, that's a good rule. That's the golden rule for everybody. But how many of us do it? But it's not a hopeless thing. He's given it. When we know that by the Holy Spirit He's given to us, that He gives us that newness of spirit, that newness of life, that newness of purpose, and we can live for Him because of what He has done for us. Praise God. There is hope. There is joy. That the fruit of His Spirit in our hearts, in our lives, enables us to do as He commands. And so by His grace, may we live those disciplined lives that are disciplined by the truth of the gospel. And not to be led astray, not to be pulled hither and thither by the newest fads and fashions that I've got of this. It's not just clothing that are the fads and the fashions, but there's a way of thinking out there. You know, You just got to find that thing in you, and that's what you got to follow your heart. Well, I'm sorry, my heart can be very misleading. But follow the Spirit of God and His Word and His truth. And that is how we can live without fear, without stress, because we're trusting in the One who Himself has loved us and shown His grace and mercy to us. Confess our sins, ask Him to forgive us, plead with Him that He would enter into our life. The Spirit in Him openly fights against those fears that are within us, that are in the world. Trust Him to meet our every need, that we might live lives to the praise and to the glory of His grace. It's not hopeless, because it is His giving Himself to us. It doesn't depend fully upon you. It's His grace and His mercy giving us newness of life. We do not need to fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be cast into the sea, because Christ has come. He has conquered sin and death. And through Him we know that there is a resurrection, and that we shall rise with Him and reign with Him forever. That's the fullness of life that we can have, so that we can love the other person without expecting something in return. We can give because God did not expect in return for His giving to us. But there's much that we have been blessed in His giving. Giving us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of discipline. May we, by His grace, live to the praise and to the glory of His grace. Shall we pray? Father, thank You for being merciful to us. Help us to realize how hopeless we are without You. We can't live up to the expectations of ourselves or of those about us. But by Your grace, You have promised to give us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And by Your grace, we can live lives that would bring glory and honor to Your name. Free from all the pressures of the world. Free from the ultimate destruction or penalties of sin, because we know that Jesus Christ has come, has died, was risen, and we have the hope in Him. And now You've given us that Spirit, Your Holy Spirit, that is a Spirit to change us, to make us more and more like Jesus each day, in whose name we pray. Amen.